Welcome to another episode of the Ivor Sean podcast. Greetings, brother. How's everything going over there in LA?
Raining.
It's raining. It's raining over here too in Washington, D.C. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty in the air. There's a lot of fear in the air. But, you know, when we go back to the scriptures and read the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, it talks about in verse 9 that there's nothing new under the sun. So as we embark on our theme in the days of Noah, we want to begin to look at, you know, what the scriptures talked about way back then and how it correlates to what's going on in today's world. You know, so I'm glad we had a time, and I'm thankful for the opportunity for us to even be in existence in a time such as this, because we get to see from a historical perspective and also in real time the scriptures come to fruition in action as we see it. You know, even as I talked about the different uncertainties, there's a lot going on in the world, wars, rumors of wars, revelation, and it seems to be intensifying as we get older, because we begin to see how, as human life elongates, we also get to see how the demonic forces in the world in operation, how they clash, and then how, at the core of it all, believers and individuals and humans alike are trying to understand and come to terms with the world in which they see. You know, because there's a side of the world where you have believers who don't know their stance, who don't understand their place, and don't understand their purpose and how they correlate to this world that they currently exist in. And on the other hand, you have people that are totally oblivious to what goes on in what we call the religious world, the spiritual side of things. So everything they see in their eyes is their reality, in which, you know, as the scriptures talk about, our weapons of our warfare, not carnal. Right? So in these guys' eyes, everything is in a carnal, in a fleshy standpoint. I hate you. You're doing this against me. It's us against them. It's this Democratic Party, Republican Party, bad man, good man, evil. Versus another side that can see and has a sense of what's going on, but really can't pinpoint it. And everyone is in disarray, trying to figure and try to make sense of it all. You know, so that's what's raining down here in the DC area. Because, you know, I'm in the metropolis. So right now, you're talking about massive layoffs. But as I point out to many people, this is nothing new. There's always been massive layoffs. It's just that this is a new territory, because in one of the most highly regarded safeguards, being the federal government, where usually once you go in, you literally only come out in a coffin. That's how safeguarded it has been. Whereas everybody else, I don't care, nonprofit, private, even some publics, have gone through reorgs, have gone through hirings. But this one hits a little differently, because the people that are involved and then the reality of what we talked about, where we put all our trust. And we're beginning to see, even as believers, do you really believe in the scriptures and the God you say you believe in? Because the fear and the uncertainty, what I see, it is really coming to question who really is your God. that's a totally different topic your that we source. Can discuss. So who really is your God? Because I've seen it, and I've been encouraged to see even brothers and sisters alike who have said, you know, sometimes it takes us, especially human beings, to go through tough, tumultuous times in order for us to see what we need to see. Because even when we look in Genesis, when we looked in Exodus, when Moses was leading the people out, when he went to the mountain, they thought he was gone. What happened? They created a whole idol. And they forgot that Moses existed and said, we need to create our own God here, create our new term, create our new constitution, create our new way of life, even though they knew the truth, right? And then when he came down, he had to what now? Deprogram and have them to realign themselves with the Father. And we're seeing that today. When things are going good, we forget about our God, we forget about the Most High, and that we create our idols. And then everything is yay, 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 until calamity strikes and everyone is like, whoa, Lord, what has happened? Because we only see God as a slot machine, only in the good times. We don't see God through the bad times. So we can't see him through the storm. We can't see what is going on in the spirit, because we really haven't adorned or disciplined ourselves to understand his ways and the voice of the leaning. So once again, so these people on this side that are confused, that are distraught, once again, we have to recenter ourselves to come to that understanding and say, what is going on here? What does my scripture say? What did I read about in the old? Oh, this looks oddly familiar. And it all comes back to us. Where is the pulse of the people? Where are my people? What is the temperature gauge of the people, the so-called believers? Are they at a high optimal? Are they highly attuned? Is their discernment high? Are they equipped for what's going on? Or are we sitting dormant, powerless, in fear, full of anxiety, all sorts of things and isms that science and people say, because they can't encapsulate and even come to articulate in words how they feel and what is going on. So this is what is reigning supreme just here in the DC area, so I know it's going nationwide. How is everything over there in LA?
Man, you touched on so many different things that I think ultimately, like you said, the question is, where is your God? Who is your God? And what is he trying to say? Mm-hmm. What is the Most High trying to convey to us as his people in these particular times? And if we take the time to read the scriptures and understand how he moves, his ways, says the children knew his acts, but Moses and Aaron knew the ways. And it's important for us to know the ways, because that ties into what you said earlier about people knowing or not knowing, kind of having an idea, but not really being able to pinpoint any specific direction. So what do? They lean into what they've been trained to lean into, which is parties, advocacies, policies, so forth and so on, and allow that to dictate how we move. But when we use that route, it is what we call, or as the Savior called in his parable, sinking sand, building your house not on the rock, which mm-hmm. is truth, something outside of this construct that have only been in existence for 240 something years. And every other empire, whether it be the Roman Empire, Ottoman Empire, so forth and so on, the English Empire, these cycles only last for 3 to 4 generations. In America, although they say the slaves came, or the enslavement of our peoples came, technically the record says 1619, but they said that the country started in 1776. So look at that gap of time there. What was happening? Oh, we know it was New Spain, New Amsterdam. So there were other European entities that were ruling or had colonized, as they like to put, settled in these particular lands, these Americas. So if the current administration and corporation America was built on these principles, what do we expect to come from that? Getting back to critical thought will help you understand that fallacy of thought process, that a government job is the most secure job. How was the government formed? And a lot of times we just like to stick our head in the sand and just act like it didn't exist. But that's the fallacy, because once you take the time to look through those things, you can be aware of the blind spot, and then begin to ask the Father, based on time frames and seasons and history, this looks like it's about to go in this particular order, which swings us back to the top of what the Savior was trying to teach in Matthew 24 when he said, these are the signs of when an age or a empire is about to shift. These are mm-hmm. the things you can look for. Once you see this happening, know that this is the times of desolation, he called it. These are the times of desolation. Okay, let's push the Bible aside. Let's act, okay, that's just a religious book. It's been tainted, it's been tampered with, it's been colonized, it's been... However, there are some searing principles, as we like to call it, the fingerprints of the Most High, that are still edged, that are lodged into the text, that if you're connecting by DNA and not by faith, and I'm not even attributing or connecting myself to Hebrew Israelitism or any of these things, but I'm talking about it is a cultural connection, a DNA factor to this book, to this documentation, this ancestral documentation that has been copyright infringed, plagiarized, maneuvered, GMO'd, whatever term you want to use, to become a collection of writings of a people group that we now call the Bible. And we put verse on it, and we put chapters and all these different things on it that tries to minimize its relativity and its power and accuracy. So it does take time to move through those things, but the scripture says, if you seek me, then you will find me. The Most High will find you. There was times where I, for years, 5, 6, 7 years, I was not reading the Bible at all, even though I was raised in the church, had some disillusionments when I began to travel and get experience and exposure and see that a lot of stuff that I was learning was false or was lied or I was cheated or how it came about. I started going into those foundations like, wow, can you, what? Christianity, they was enslaving people. They were indoctrinating people. They were missionarying people and forcing them. How this is, I need to take a break, right?
Off of their heads.
But then after a while, you come full circle that season when you begin to see, like you said earlier, hold on, I remember this from somewhere. And that's all the Savior was saying. He's like, as in the days of Noah, in the beginning, so shall it always be. So there's these cyclical cycles. Just like in life, we have summer, spring, winter, fall. Not in that order, but we have those four seasons, right? Those four seasons are always happening, and you can tell by the signs of the time. Mm-hmm. But if you're in certain environments where it's always hot, or it's always cold, or it's never light, or it's never dark, depending on where you are on the earth, you may not be aware of all of the seasons. So your awareness is skewed and you don't know when something is happening. Some are just, man, I thought it was, I got outside and I thought it was nice outside, but it's really cold. Well, it's in February. And though the sun came out and it felt like it was a security where you could take your jacket off, you should have still at least had a jacket just in case in the car when it got cold, because you knew what season and time you were in. That's all the scriptures is trying to teach us, is know the seasons and times. Don't be afraid. He said, don't be fearful. Like you said, fear comes from not knowing. Mm-hmm. That's why the most powerful thing you have is knowledge. Knowledge is the most powerful thing you can have, because if you have knowledge, then you can do other things. You can learn how to create food, clothing, shelter, water, whatever else you think you need or you may need in order to survive. But if you don't have the information or you don't have knowledge, then you're going to be off. But I take it another step. It's not just knowledge. That's on the human side. Mm-hmm. But the Spirit of the Most High, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge, wisdom, understanding, overstanding, you must have that. And that comes through the framework that we find in the scriptures. So when we talk about, as in the days of Noah, what was happening in Noah's time? What was going on? What was the circumstance? What was the context? Right, there was a major empire that was built called Nimrod, which people are still trying to erect to this day. Rebellion against nature, rebellion against the Most High, shooting arrows into the sky. What do we do now? We don't just shoot arrows, we shoot what? Rockets, and say that we're going to Mars and we're going to all these places. We're going to the moon. And we thought that was crazy with Nimrod to say that he can kill God. It's the same thing. Like, a lot of that stuff sounds so crazy because there's no proof of a lot of this stuff. It's just what someone is telling you is happening, but we have no absolute proof. And we like, yeah, we went to the moon. How do you know? What?
That's it. You know, you bring up a good point, because as you were talking, I scrolled back to Genesis chapter 6, right? Mm-hmm. And then in verse 3, it says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. But then it also talks about verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. So let's go back to in the days of Noah, because we see it with our very own eyes, wickedness in the hearts of men. Every aspect of life, you can see it. It's evident.
Continually. So that's creating a snowball of energy that's opening the door for what? If you keep reading down, it talks about the giants were, that's when the fallen were involved. They were mixing, right? Because we were worshiping and doing the things that they were influencing us to do. So we kept doing it, and it began to unmask at such a high level. And we were non-GMO human beings at the time. That's why he said, I'm going to cut it down to 120. Because you guys are a little lower than the angels and are going to judge angels, are going to be the middle ground. And the fallen understand that they lost their position. So you have rulership and authority over what? Unclean spirits. That's what the Savior was trying to say. He said, you're born from above. Mm-hmm. You have power over all these unclean spirits because they already set for judgment, and we made you in our image. Mm-hmm. That's what they ain't like. That's why he said, I got to tempt these guys with what? Knowledge. You are the Most High. I am God. So what do we do here in this land, this new Babylon? So I'm a God. I'm God. I'm important. It's me. It's about me. Narcissist. continually. You control everything.
That's it, continually. And then in verse 7, it says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah. And this brings me to something that you had just mentioned about understanding the seasons. One of the biggest things to Noah's critics as to why he looked crazy, deranged, was because he was building an ark, but it wasn't even the rainy season. It wasn't even the season for rain to come. Yet though, he was heeding in preparation of what he hadn't even thought. Because this is why people didn't rush in. Because if they would have known a flood was coming, everybody would have came into the ark. But they were like, this dude is crazy. It don't even rain. It never rains in Southern. Just imagine you building an ark in Southern California. Like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? It don't rain over here. That's what makes it even more powerful, understanding the season. So the season. So believer, are you listening to the voice? Are you heeding to the instruction? Are you executing and following the ways? Because if not, death and destruction were sitting at your doorstep. But it said the scriptures say that what? He found grace in the sight of Noah. So he was able to save Noah, his family, and his descendants from that point on. Just because Noah wasn't even perfect. That's the other thing too. Found grace in someone who was imperfect. But yet still, that person heeded to the voice, to the vision, to the dream. And even in the midst of despair and chaos, said, I'm going to see it through. Only for the thing what God says is going to happen did happen. And at that point, it was too late. The door's already closed. That's when people were banging the door down. So in this season, what has God shown to us, shown to you, that makes you look crazy right now? Because the naked eye can't see it, or nor they can comprehend, or nor could they understand what the will of the Father is. But there's a lot of that same example in our everyday lives. There's something that has been placed upon your heart that tugs at your soul that in the eyes of society is crazy. Not knowing that very thing is the things that's going to save humanity. But we can't see it. You can't see it because why? We're listening to what the naysayers say. We're listening to the fear. We're listening to the thing. That don't even make sense. Okay. Everything around us that we utilize today doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense for the Wright brothers to try to fly in the sky. It didn't make sense because we had horses. You could do everything on ground. Why do you want to fly like the bird? That don't make sense. Fast forward 50, 60, 100 years later. You don't travel without going through the air. You see? Everything that we seem to be normal today didn't make sense at some time. So once
that's
again,
why you have to have two realms of seeing.
That's it.
There's the physical, carnal, where you always just seeing in front of you, or you have the spiritual eye, discernment, to see vision.
See vision, that's it.
Yeah, vision.
How far along the horizon. But yeah, touch on that season part, because I think we miss it a lot as in our individual lives about the seasons and understanding discernment and understanding and taking the time to really know what is going on.
Yeah. And like you said, in the book of Genesis, and look at the root terms in there, you have genetics, genome, generation, and the beginning. It's so important to understand the root. What is the root of everything that you do? That's important to do. Mm-hmm. And if you don't take the time to find out the root, you're always going to be in the blind spot. Always. So with this advancement of technology that the Most High has allowed or has brought into, it says right there that the Most High said, I'm going to destroy man. Now we would think from our Western mindset, why would the Most High destroy man? What do you mean he's going to destroy man? What loving God, how are you defining love and how are you defining context? If you're a creator and you've created certain things, and it's going to continue to continuously run itself amok, that's going to cause more damage, what would you do? You cut it off. You reset it. That's why he didn't destroy man completely. He said Noah. And what was Noah's criteria? He was righteous. Righteous may not only mean he did everything right. He didn't smoke. He didn't drink. He didn't da da da. Those are so superficial, but there is merit in those activities because your body's the temple, so forth and so on. I get that. But it was more about, he wasn't mixing himself. Because remember, the stuff we're doing now, they call it CRISPR technology, where you're mixing DNA and trying to, people are living off of different animal parts and so forth and so on. All of that was a part of, even when you see in Greek mythology with Sumera and all these different matadors and things like that. Those are all a part of what was happening at that time period. But remember, non-GMO human beings, the technology that they have now is nothing compared to what it was then. They were at a whole nother level, and Noah hadn't messed up the original pathway. He was still in his original genetic makeup. So that was a part of his righteousness. He wasn't doing what the daughters of men, as we call Nephal or Nephilim, when the fallen got involved with the daughters of men. Because remember, angels could turn into any form. Mm-hmm. Like we saw, Abram was outside the outskirts of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the angels came to him and told him that he was going where? To Sodom and Gomorrah to what? Destroy it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because if it continued to proliferate, it was going to cause more problems in the long run. So we have to look at things from a spiritual viewpoint to understand the ways of the Most High and why he would destroy certain people groups and certain bloodlines and so forth and so on, because he knew what that was going to cause forever, because he made everything within the context of a veneer of his image. So once it's true, once it perpetuates, once it goes forward, it can't be stopped. That's why he said, I'm going to destroy them, or I'm going to confuse them, Tower of Babel. This is before Genesis 6. I'm going to confuse Nimrod and them, because anything that they put their mind to, they're going to be able to do it. And you see that even to this day. We put our mind to something, whether it's the Wright brothers, although I would probably speculate that there was someone else who came up with the idea before them, and then they just took the credit, because that seems to be the MO of many groups of people in that space. Every time, oh, we came up with this, and then, no, you didn't. I'm sure someone had it, and then you then said it, you did it. Okay, we get it. We understand how this thing operates. But the point is, coming back full circle to your question, if we are discerning and understanding the times that we're in by reading, being aware of what's happening even in the political spaces. Okay, these political spaces, what are they fighting for? What was Trump so angry about, accusing Zelensky from Ukraine about, was you're about to do what? World War III. You're not doing A, B, C, and D. But what was the goal or the interest of America? Resources. Mm-hmm. What are those resources for? Business. Mm-hmm. So everything we're seeing has a business lean to it, especially with this current administration, because that's his forte. He's a business person. Mm-hmm. Whether he's successful or not, that's not what I'm talking about. We're just talking about that he's a business person, just like any other president. But Trump is definitely more focused on trying to
moolah.
That's his end goal. So if his end goal is that, he's not worried about no climate change. He's not worried about the environment. So if you're not worried about the environment, climate change, or the degradation of your soils or the area, the people, and it's just about consuming, what does the Most High say he would do? Even in the book of the Romans, Rome, he says he gave them over to their mind, to their desire. Oh, that's what you want to do? Okay, cool. Right. I know at the end of the day, you at 120, already set the marker, and it's even lower now. You doing what, 80, 90, and that's old now? Okay, good luck. You're going to be president for 4 years? Okay, I guess so. You've been around for 246 years? Okay. So first understanding those principles then begins to dilute and pulls the plug, like one of our elders did when we used to play in the band and they didn't want us to play no more. What'd he do? He go straight to the source. He just pulled the plug.
The plug out the wall. Y'all won't listen.
Yeah, all those speakers and stuff and all that. Guess what? All that is coming through this right here. I'm going to pull. That's the Most High. Like, okay, I'm just going to pull the plug and let's see how things operate, how it flows, how it flies. All these, we're so advanced in our technology and da da da. Just pull the plug on that. Just shut that down. Just take that off. Just hit that center. Just do. We're vulnerable, right?
We lie
to ourselves, because that's why I said don't put your trust in those things. So as you begin to do the research to understand the root of where things come from, then you can prepare yourself to make sure you have your jacket. You don't have to be an extremist, but at least you have a jacket in the car unless it gets cold. Mm-hmm. When it gets cold, because it could just change at any time depending on where you live. When I lived in Missouri, one day it can be sunny, and literally 3 hours later can be a storm because it was in the middle. So it was getting the different wind factors and all kind of stuff happening all over the place. So you had to be really mindful when you went outside based on the overall season of what was happening. Mm-hmm. So in our lives, as you're getting older, as you're becoming an adult, as you're empty nesting, children are becoming going to college or whatever the different circumstances and stages of life, we need to always reset back to the beginning and ask ourselves, okay, what does the next 10 years look like? That's what I always tell children. I tell my daughter that. I tell young people, even older people, some of the people we mentor. How old are you? And what are you going to be doing 10 years from now? What is your 10-year plan? Then once you understand your plan or what you discern from the Most High based on your gifts, talents, and purpose, Light Your Path, that's a program that we have. So if you want to learn more about that, go to ashanfoundation.org. Passion, purpose, gift, right? Once you understand that, what you're here for, what you've been gifted with, what you're passionate about, what you have the skill for, what you've disciplined yourself to be a contributor to humanity, to your community, to your family, so forth and so on, all those layers, then you can begin to understand, okay, what is happening in the world? Mm-hmm. Like I told my daughter, you want to go to college, you have to ask yourself, and not based on what you, because you're in the college space, don't go to college. Really think through, let me not say don't go, but really think through going to college based on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to do hard disciplines that really require that type of focus, like a doctor or an engineer or a chemist and that kind of stuff, then college makes sense to make that investment, so forth and so on, because you're in a concentrated type of situation. Mm-hmm. But if you're, and you can expound on that a little bit more, but if you're going for any of these other ones, business and things like that, you want to approach it differently. Maybe you go to college for a couple of years, or maybe you're a little bit more focused on how you're approaching it. You shouldn't just automatically just go. And I know a lot of it, people go because of the social experience, and it helps with your skill sets and how to, you know, maneuver in life and all that kind of stuff. And all those things are important to a degree, but you need to know, once again, have the information so you're not going into any situation blind, so that when the seasons change, i.e. the prices go up, the tuition goes higher, it's not really worth it, you have your jacket on and can make proper decisions and begin to build your arc, as well as be in society. Noah was still going to the grocery store. He was still doing whatever he did. He was in the society. He was separating himself from them because he wasn't going to mix himself and find himself unrighteous, but he was building. And though they were mocking and laughing for those 140 plus or 120 years, I think Jasher talks about this specific time, but whatever that time frame was that the Most High gave them to get themselves in order, as he always does, he began, look at all this time. And we think, oh, they've been saying it. My grandma and them was saying that. Okay, that means it's actually way closer now. Because if you take away what grandma said and the Bible said, you can see the patterns. Look at the patterns. But if you were like, no, because you're filled with your own lust, because you want to get a career or you want the business and da da da. If that's your leader, then he said, let your leader save you when the times change. Comes.
Don't call him now.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a Lord Lord.
The slot machine, as you were saying earlier.
it's very true because
yeah.
Even in that the advice you gave your daughter, I mean, it's so true. If you recall back in 95, 96, that was the same thing we told ourselves. Then we were manipulated by some sources that we won't name. We keep them nameless, that called us too carefree and not focused. When we said, nah, we don't know what we want to do. So why would we go and now expend resources on something? We don't even have an idea of which left, right, what we're trying to do. Oh, no, just go. See, just go puts you into that bondage. You're throwing money. Don't have a purpose, and then when you get too far in, you got to keep going. And then going and you going
didn't even
and going.
Know, I didn't even know. I had no idea of what was
no
happening.
Idea. You're talking 17, 18 year olds telling them you need to make a decision now on what you want to do for the next 30, 40 years. Like, who knows that? But yet still, the system in place is to go and figure it out. But why do we have to pay for that? We could just do that at home. Well, no. If you don't, then you won't go. But what are we going there for? Because as we see now, years later, this is the breeding ground of indoctrination. Some of the ills and things that people are unimaginable that happens in people's lives happen in these social places. Because it's an area where you're unprotected, you're vulnerable, because they understand the minds that yet haven't been matured, that you can indoctrinate on so many different levels, especially when you're in an environment that you are seemingly the minority. And I'm not even talking about race and ethnicity, just from your thought process. You're in a jungle. You will easily be consumed if you don't watch it. You will be consumed immediately. So there's experiences and traumas that people have experienced in this thing called college that they would never speak of.
Yeah, sure.
But yet still this day, they would still tell somebody, look, go and do it. Are you going to sacrifice your own? Because you even know what's out there for them. There's nothing out there. So because this whole idea needs to be reimagined. This is why, like I said, now you got me started, because this is why when I look at politics and stuff like that, there's some good in some of the nonsense that we perceive to be nonsense that's happening, because it opens and sheds a light on what is really going on.
The reality, yeah.
What's really going on? Because we see it, we're like, this education system's a joke. We've been saying that, we're what, 45, 46? We've been saying it. So what have they been saying, people, our generations before that? This education is a joke. But then when you say, let's dismantle this education, oh, no. Wait, hold up. Is it good or is it not? Because even saying it's trash.
They got their interest in it. There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Get rid of it.
That's their God. They think that that's the only way they're going to be able to pay their bills. Da, 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 da. You better start building the ark. You better figure it out. Start small.
That's it. Because, you know, yeah. And that's the reality. And I think tumultuous times like this, this helps to people. It happened during COVID. Mm-hmm. We was having fun when Moses was on the mountaintop. And then COVID struck. And all of a sudden, people started seeing people dying. All of a sudden, people who were anti-family, now they were trying to reach out to loved ones because they were on islands all by themselves. Mm. You were in big cities, thought you were doing something. Now all of a sudden, you realize no one's coming for you. Your family is in a totally different state. Guess what you did? Packed up and went back home. And then when COVID closed up, they went right back to their ways again. So now you see, now jobs are involved. What are people realizing? Oh, I can't do anything by myself. I have no support unit. I have no family. I have nobody. I don't have mates. I don't have spouses. Is this what life is going to look like for the rest of my days? Hold up. I need to reevaluate here. Because we keep seeing the warning signs. He keeps sending us signals, keeps sending us messages. And what do we keep doing? Sit on the sideline. And then we sit here and play these political games. Okay. Mm-hmm. Politics has already been... politics were around when Jesus was walking the earth. Mm-hmm. there were political regimes.
Sadducees, Pharisees, the high priest, all that was politics. We're not going to let him take us all down. Let's crucify
all
him.
Off with
him
his
die.
Head. Yeah. The same people, off with his head. Lord, Lord, you just say, the same people say crucify him. Even Pontius Pilate said, hey, this one here, hey, this is on y'all. Because I found no fault.
Y'all killing y'all own? No, go ahead.
Y'all want this. This is on, the blood is on your hands. But it's so very true. But as believers and people, I would say so-called believers, this is where we got to take a stand and really understand and operate, because everything is hinging on, we're at a very pivotal time. Very pivotal
time. Very, very serious time.
The market is volatile and the chaos, but there's still peace in the chaos. But you got to be able to see it, because in every situation, there's always a silver lining. There's always something to look forward to. I don't care if you're in business. People are like, oh man, what are we going to do? End the world? Well, if you're seeing this the way you're supposed to be seeing it, there's solutions that could come out of this that will benefit you and your people. They're talking about produce and stuff going up. They're talking about the tariff that's going on. So Trump put the tariffs on Mexico. Mexico put the tariffs on US. Trump put the tariffs doubled up on China. China doubled down. Canada too. So I was listening to one of these economists, and he was saying, what's so important about Mexico? Well, when you go back to NAFTA and all these worldwide agreements, we forewent our manufacturing base and gave it to China. So now everything you see, we're dependent on China for. Then we also turned our backs on our agricultural system and gave that to other countries. So Mexico, all these places. And then as we gave up the lands and we're building all these houses and building all these cities, the farmland is gone. So now you're depending on another country to get your food and your production. Okay.
We're vulnerable,
so
dude.
Now you see the vulnerability. Vulnerable. So the people who are not vulnerable to this are the people who have land, who grow their own food, who have their own cattle, who have their own eggs and chickens that lay their eggs. So they're not dealing with $7 a dozen. They're not dealing with these issues. So once again, when all of this falls or all of this gets tight, money, and then now inflation hits, now you have to spend so much money and resources, there's somebody who's benefiting because they're outside of that world. They lived a more simple life, a more life of that's more laborious, not too appealing, But now, at the end of the day, who the has art. The wealth? Who has the resources?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's more vulnerable? Some of us have hundreds of pairs of shoes, but you only have 2 feet. That don't matter anymore. That it's doesn't true. Matter. Right, the car right. you drive, you can't put gas nope. in it. What you gonna do? What's right. next? You don't have a job, or you don't have resources, you don't have income, you can't pay the debt that you owe.
We haven't experienced that, so we don't think it can happen. That's the scarier part.
That's the real part right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's always...
But it happens in history to many groups of people. Everybody has gone through that.
I mean, it was just happened in the 30s, the Great Depression. That's less than 100 years ago. We just haven't seen that where it's become to complete desolation. Because TV our generation has always mm-hmm. been an insurance policy where it didn't get too bad. I mean, it got bad, but it gets to a point where you were scouring in the streets. We haven't seen that before. So this little insulated, I call it science fair project that this country is, because once you leave the borders, you begin to see more reality and glimpses of life outside of this bubble.
Eesh.
And then when they see that, they're like, oh, why didn't they do this? I say, you don't understand the system that you're in. This is why you won't leave that system. Because that system, even though it's your sickness and your disease, is also what you have all your faith in. So you won't let it go. Lot's wife wouldn't let it go. She's going to turn around because she, you know what we leaving back there? Where are we going? Do you know? We know Sodom is bad. We know it's evil. But it's Sodom though. Sodom is, what is it? It's something that we know. It's something that we're comfortable with. We're not comfortable with that unknown place. We don't know anything. We don't know what's about to happen. So you know what she did? She turned around and never to be seen again. This is what's going on, y'all. We gotta wake up. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. If you have air and you have life, you have to open your eyes. I don't care if you're atheist. I don't care if you don't think none of this is real. At some point in time, the sun is shining. You got to question existence because we don't control the air we breathe. Yet the steps we take, we walk in faith every day and don't even realize it. We step on concrete with the assumption that the ground is going to be firm. We can step through and go straight and be swallowed up. But we never think that because we haven't seen that before. Because we're assuming it's supposed to be there. So when calamity strikes, it's like, oh my gosh. I'm like, we don't control the earth. When earthquakes hit, we don't control this stuff.
Nothing.
We don't control anything.
That's the humility. And as you get older and you've been through the seasons in your 40s, that's what, the four cycles. That's the four generations, or the four summer, winter, spring, fall. You begin to really question and say, wow, while I still have my youth, while I still have my youthfulness, I need to take care of my body. I need to begin to eat and constantly unlearn. That's the hardest part. People don't want to unlearn. Oh, I don't think it's that important. No. Once it comes to your attention, you're now vulnerable and you're now accountable.
That's it.
To the information that was given to you. You can't cry when they say, oh, sorry, we just found out you have this, or found out that this happened. Where did that come from? Oh, when you was doing this and this and this. Oh, dang, I need to fall back on aluminum. You know, like we was talking about yesterday. Mm-hmm. Or I need to fall back on. I'm learning something new every day, and I look into it, and I push it through logic, right? Like,
That is true.
That makes sense. Because how is that thing warming up the food, but it don't get hot? That can't really be good. All right, I need to change that. Let me move this.
Because that makes sense. Is what kills.
That's it.
Convenience. I was just telling everybody. I said everything that's convenient. I said there's a cost associated with it. I said you look at grocery stores. You can go and buy a gallon of milk for $4 at the grocery store, but you got to stand in line. There's tons of people there. You can go to the gas station or 7-Eleven and get the same thing at double the price because you can go in and out. So the microwave foods, all the foods you're talking about. Once again. With these
tariffs, get rid of the microwaves in your house. Don't use microwaves. Just take a couple minutes and warm it up. It's only like 15 more minutes. You'll be okay.
Not even that.
That microwave, I know.
It's not even that.
I don't even have a microwave in my house.
It's like a person you see speeding on the highway or to get to a red light. Like, where are you going? Right. You're not shaving like minutes off. You're not shaving half an hour.
You flew past me and I just stand and look at him like, I'm here to you.
That's a psychosis. In their head, they think they're doing something. Like, you haven't gone anywhere. Oh, so once again, some of these things that people consider nuisances, this is what's killing us. And it's just, and this is, we've been sensitized and it's become normal that people just don't have patience for like 5 minutes, 2 minutes, putting something in the oven and just waiting, or putting on the stove, or being mindful and cooking at a low temperature so that your food doesn't stick. Now we want to go buy something non-stick. So what is this non-stick material that they created?
That's a good point. That's a crucial joint. Yeah, you got to slow it down.
Because now we can turn it up and do it real quick, and it doesn't stick. But what are the different metals and things that are coming into the food?
The forever chemicals, all that. Yeah, that's it.
Plastics. Now they're telling us plastics is all in our body. Then I read something about how in some cases rice manufacturers are putting plastics in the rice.
Yeah, I don't eat rice no more that much. Yeah.
What do we not say for anything?
And nothing.
Even the water. What's in the water?
We're amongst the fallen. This is the days of Noah where it was evil continually. So you just have to stay close to the Most High, exercise, stay out the way, and trust the Father, because it's not doom and gloom, but until we are willing to go into the wilderness and let him let there be again, that's what the children didn't want. The leaks, we had everything that we built. Man, we had everything. We're coming in the wilderness to start from scratch.
You brought us here to die?
To die?
We were slaves. We would live better as slaves. They wanted to go back. Same thing in slavery. Some people wanted to go back. Underground Railroad, they wanted to go back. They was like, yo, I was doing good at Master House. Now you want me to come out here and figure it out myself?
And that's why you always going to be controlled.
Willfully.
Slavery, and that generation is going to die off. But the new generation, the younger ones, what are we leaving for them? And we don't even think that way. That's how sick right now. The scripture says that because we worship other gods, we will become a byword and under delusionment. A byword. The N word is a byword, and a disillusionment, meaning you are a zombie, a zombie, dead man walking, because you won't get aligned to your purpose, which is to be the caretaker. So if you're the firstborn and you're supposed to do something in this earth realm, and you have relegated yourself through your own decisions, through the decisions of others, and the continuance for generation upon generation to continue to do the same thing over and over and over again, what's going to happen? You lose your ideals. You lose your ability to discern right from wrong, up from down, left from right, north from south. And you just are. So while they're amassing wealth, getting minerals, putting in AI that continues to demystify our ability to think, we can't even operate everything. We run through ChatGPT for everything. To send a message to someone on a text message, you're going to ChatGPT it.
People don't have trust in themselves anymore. No trust, no confidence.
Because it's you know for sure that it's going to come across a certain way, so you look like you sound like you're... We don't remember anything. So then where is this going? That's the question you have to ask yourself. After all this, where does this go? And do people even have the seared conscience now that where they can't even understand or see anything? And you'll see a person like ourselves, just like our forefathers, just like in the days of Noah. Noah, are you going too far? You're exaggerating. You're too, that's old. That's not the way the world is. We're doing this. We're in the inclusion.
No, it's true. I was just having this conversation yesterday because I remember when my mom used to go to the banks. I just remember the times where you cashed a check. Like you got paid and you got your check like on a Friday, and then you went to the bank to deposit it. And then I remember this whole grand idea about direct deposit. So I even talked about this yesterday with someone and said, when it first came out, it was optional. Some people did it, but a lot of people said, no, I want the paper. Then when the overwhelming majority of people love the convenience of getting their money in there, so now they don't have to walk into the bank and do this, then they forced everyone to say, hey, no more papers, everything is going over. So the thing that I was questioning was like, what if there was opposition saying, no, we don't want that? Because we don't oppose anything. A lot of these new technologies, because we're in constant agreement, it streamlines and it takes off. There's never an opposition that says no.
So we've been trained that way. Yeah.
So they say we want EV cars, we want electric vehicles, and no one buys it. They don't build EV cars because there's not a market for it. No matter what they say, they can't do it because no one's going to buy it. They're going to do whatever your money dictates they want to do. And they understand that, but we're like, oh, no, that's great. Cell phone, same thing. Do this.
So what does AI do? AI helps to streamline things even faster.
at your expense. And then why are you confused that you're being replaced by a computer that's far more accurate than you are?
Everywhere is war. War in the East. War. That song is so crucial. War, war, war. Rumors of war.
Everywhere.
Everywhere is war. There's all kind of wars happening. It's not just the Hamas and Israel or Zionism fighting. There's a bunch of wars going on everywhere.
And at that point as well, why are we so confused, or sometimes we play dumb with the idea of war when the scriptures, all it talks about is war and scenarios from war. Everybody we talk about was a warrior, was a soldier. Yes, then when you bring up war, it's like, oh, no, God is against war. Who told you that? There's evil. There's something happened. The only
Your immune system fights.
There's always fights. There's always discord. And war is present in the physical and in the heavenlies.
And in your body. Your body's in a constant war against what? Your immune system is fighting off bacteria. What if the turn the other cheek when the flu comes, just turn your other cheek so that the flu can come in. And then turn the other cheek.
No combat. Just sit and take it.
That's called religion, ladies and gentlemen.
We gotta stop this madness. This is what's killing us. This is what's killing us right here. You know, this has been a great conversation. You know, I'm looking forward to our next conversation because I want us to talk about the unity within our culture. And I use culture loosely in specifics to this whole idea of the financial blackout. And, you know, people not spending money. Because I want to talk about that further in our next episode. Because I want to see if this thing is really what they think it is. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we just mentioned, you're vulnerable on so many levels because you don't own anything. So even if you tell them, hey, I'm not going to spend the money with them, how long is that going to last? Who do you think is going to be able to withstand? You're going to come right back and spend triple time later.
Yeah, because you don't, all your water, everything you do is through us. So
everything.
Good luck. And on that, we'll catch you in the next episode.
Peace.